Okay. Good. So we're holding here, we have two sets of sheets over here. Who's our host, by the way?
It's me,
Ali Jacobson. Okay, the set. Okay. So we're holding here, we're going back to the original sheets. Amud Yud-Zayin. This is Maimar Ikri Malif, and it's in the middle of Amud Yud-Zayin, the paragraph. V'alakol tzor she'teida. Shamitas in Yone Mitzius is Barach Enum Museges Klau. We'll never ever have a real Tfisa and Hasaga in the Mohus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's give an example for that in a way that we could actually relate to it. We're all very familiar with electricity. I mean, we're using it now. And the electricity that courses through a wire is something that we really, we don't have any real feel for it. We don't have any real understanding for it. But one thing we know is that we can see, if we put some electronic device to it, we see this, the current go up and down. If we attach a light bulb to it, it lights up. If we touch it, we might get a shock, and so on. So here we have something in front of us that we can see many pol yotzes of it. We can see many, many examples of it, and it's sort of how it affects everything around you without really understanding what it is. So here also we can say many true things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those true things are all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacting with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Bore Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mekayim Es Olam. We can say Hashkoch has brought this, Hashkoch has brought that. We can say many, many things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we can never ever be Teufis Amitas Mitziusei. It's not something that our minds can be Teufis. So any type of explanation with somebody, the Herr HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyoch himself, is automatically wrong. There are different dargas how much you can be oimid on how HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world. I want to point out that the other sheets, you don't have to look at it, but in the other sheets, he talks about Hama'atzil. Kishenafchin ma'aseh ha'ein soifis baruch novin shehetzel netzolim. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put down Brias, Nivroim. So we always talk about from the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interacting with us, we can say a lot of true things about it. We can't say anything about Amita Sinyanai.
Is this like the Rambam Marina Vogelman that says you can't attribute a positive explanation because then we're setting limitations, we can only say what he's not?
Correct. That's correct. That is true, except that I guess in the chokhmah apnim, the Kabbalah, the advantage is it gave us the ability to say positive things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interaction with the world. We have all sorts of hanhoges that we can label, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Rachum and Chanun. It means within the interaction of the world, that's how it interacts. But to say that we can in any way talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we cannot.
Why would the Rambam what does Rachum and Chanun really have to do with someone? Why doesn't the Rambam
So the Rambam says, the Rambam's Lashon, let's put it down as an akuda to think about. The Rambam, the Torah, we're taking for granted that you can't describe positive aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, positive in the sense, things that are, as opposed to things that are not. So therefore, when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, Rachum Chanun Hapayim. So how are we describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Rambam asks this question in Mishnah Torah. So the Rambam's answer is that all of this is meant to set up a certain pattern of behavior that we can emulate. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said these are anhagos that are worthy of a person imitating. So the Rambam puts it that way. the way he describes it is more that there is an interface. So the Marshall, let's go back to the example of the electricity. Electricity is something that the electrons moving down the wire is something that we couldn't picture. It's a field. It's energy. It's force. We don't have anything that can actually picture it. But we can make many representations and show how when you attach it to a screen, you see a line going up and down. When you attach some sort of sound emitting device, you hear a noise, a hum, or whatever it is. So there are many ways. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did create a whole chelek called Hashgacha, which is an interaction with us. And in that interaction, we describe midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and those midas are true, but they're only interactions. Just like a better marshal would be our neshama. There's no way you can deher somebody's neshama. But when you deher the person, so if you see the Chachmas Adam Torah Panah, if you see the Tuv Lev that shines out, if you see the Kedush and that Silus, so you're seeing the Guf, and you're seeing a Hashpah of the Neshama on the Guf, and you feel that it's appropriate to extrapolate, but you never ever can think that you actually can picture Neshama. There is no pictures. The Shabbat don't have pictures. They don't have anything physical that we can in any way describe. So we appropriately. So when we look at somebody and say, "Ah, he has such a high neshama," but what we mean to say is the way the neshama expresses itself in the guf and the way the guf is reacting to the neshama. The haris panim, the chachma, the tzilos, whatever it is. So we say from the effect that the neshama has on the guf. I'm allowed to say this about the neshama itself. That's sort of the way we would talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his anhagas. We can appropriately call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Racham Chanan, even though we're talking about the anhagas themselves, because the anhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are a reflection of a ratzon that we can't understand the guf ratzon, but we can understand the motion and so on. Let's take another example and just different pictures we get a sense. A person has little kids, and his kids are 5 years old. He comes home, the father, he's very distraught about something. I don't know, he just got fired, he got a big bill, he got into a fight with somebody. Now, the news itself, his child is incapable of understanding. A 5-year-old cannot understand what it means that somebody was promoted ahead of him in the office, that he had a job he was looking for, and a child can't understand. But a child does see the father looks very, very upset. A child can sense that. A child can sense that, you know, the father's very snappy, and he's what he's sensing is not the etzem tzaragas nefesh, but the way the tzaragas nefesh expresses itself. But it's inappropriate. The child can make a conclusion that my father ain't no good mood today, and you know I maybe ought to stay away from him today. I'm deherring from the expressions which are in my world. They're reflecting what would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want. So that's how we use what we have in front of us for to allow us to understand what's beyond it. So he says, it has nothing in common, like we spoke last time a lot about in common. We tend to understand things by analogy, and analogy fails over here. I can't say it's a type of this or type of that or whatever it is. So there are no words or titles that can fit him. Hash'olonatoka are very interesting words. They mean more or less, what's the right word for it? metaphor in English, and Hashalah, the Rambam uses the word Hashalah a lot in the Moreh Nevuchim. Right? Again, it's hard to use the word Hashalah because the Moreh Nevuchim is translated, but Al Kopanim, the Rambam, the word Hashalah means I borrowed a phrase from one place to another place. So let's give a mashal. If I say this vegetable has vitamins, so I'm making a statement about something that it has. If I say it has a lot of vitamins, so I'm giving it a physical quality of some sort. What if I say it packs a real punch of nutrients? Now, packs a real punch is in no way, shape, or form. The vegetables don't usually punch you, and the punch is not packed anywhere in it, and the words, but I have a certain feeling. When someone says this packs a real punch, I feel that it's very, very strong. And when I use those words to describe something else, I'm using those emotions, that sense of it, to help me formulate the appropriate response. Someone says, tells you this is a real powerhouse, it packs a real punch of X or Y or Z, I understand how to misafas to it. None of the things we're writing, saying Kadosh Baruch Hu, is meant to be literal, but it's meant to help us guide what our response should be. If it's idna de rischa has shalom, if it's a zman of kas, that's one thing. If it's a zman of ratzon, it's another thing. All of the mishalim used are appropriate, so long as we understand that we're talking about a metaphor, which means a word that has no physical resemblance whatsoever, but it conveys a certain sense of something the way something else does. That's really what a metaphor accomplishes. I'm able to transpose emotions that I felt in one situation and apply it in another situation. As opposed to when I use a dimyan, and for instance, if I say that honey is a sugar-like food. So it contains some type of sugar. It's not this sugar that's in the, not the white sugar, but it's a different type of sugar and so on. Over there, it's a dimya, it's not a metaphor. Because it has elements of it, actually. It actually has elements. But if I say the vacation was as sweet as honey, there was no sugar there. There was nothing there. But I said the good feeling I have when I taste honey, that sense of well-being is what I felt over there. I don't mean to give it any type of description anyway. So, because there are things we need to understand. Now, let's stop a second at this. There's a question here. Why sit and talk about things that you don't know what you're talking about? So it's a kind of a good question. Why? I mean, you're telling me that we cannot and absolutely have no understanding whatsoever of what Kadosh Baruch Hu is. So why talk about it? I mean, what's the point of it? The answer is, we do need to know. And there's a few reasons. One is, we need to guide ourselves what to do, what not to do, how strongly to stay away from something, and v'chein hala. So we need to understand a lot about it. That's one reason. A second reason is, it's in the understanding of what the world is headed to, an understanding of what the Tachlis of Bria is, the Tzuras of Bria, the Seder of Bria, all of those requires understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we do need to understand things, and for those things we use these Mishalim that are there by HaShalah. They once asked, the Leshem was a huge mekubel. He was the giant of like a door and a half ago, Rabbi Yashav's grandfather. And he was the only Litvisha that was known to really know Kabbalah, and he wrote two or three big svarim that are in the Litvisha world considered to be like pillars of it. And he was extremely fascinating. He was a man who was nifter, I think, in maybe 1920, kind of. And he wrote like a kadman. I mean, with a tremendous tkifus, and incredible. And he writes, you know, he describes a lot about things and so on. The words, I mean, I was talking about Leshem. I started to think why I mentioned him. It's just a memory. The words that we have over here. Ah, I know what it is. He wrote. Someone asked him, "What about all of the dates that the Zohar says are the Mashiach's going to come, and the dates came and didn't come, and so on?" So he said, "The Zohar talks about a pchina of Rachel and a pchina of Yaakov and a pchina of this. It doesn't mean Rachel. It doesn't mean Yaakov. It doesn't mean this. It's a marshal for something." He says the dates are also a marshal for something. They're something which are mishalom for something. They're not something which is a clear. We're not talking about things. We're talking about something which is giving us information through hashol and atoka and aderach mashal. And therefore, you need to stay away from any. Pinning down things as if this would be a thing. So he says, "Kikim she'eni tano elomilois yoyru aliyonim tivim umugbalim bigvule nevroim." He answered that with Miras Edo. So he says, "Listen, the only way we have of thinking is with physical blocks called words, and the words are physical entities. Because if I talk to you." If we talk to each other in abstract terms, we don't know what in the world we're talking about. I mean, for me to convey information to you, and to myself really, I need to be able to know what I'm talking about. I need to say, okay, this is known, this is known, this is known. So click together these three pieces, and I get another thing which is now known also. But I need, in order to be able to understand, so I need to have words, and words are physical entities. Physical. I don't mean only because you're saying a word. It's a word defines. A word has to have a meaning. If I tell you a word that I can't define, then the word is useless. It doesn't mean anything. So he says. So and the truth is. Our ability to understand is mikoyach the words that we know. So if I couldn't tell you any words, I couldn't understand anything. So I'm so stuck over here. I need to have words to understand something, and every word is a physical entity, and no matter how many words I pile on, I'm still dealing with physical entities. So how am I going to get to something that's ruchnius? So that's what he says. I need to take these words and use them al derech hashalav atoka. I'm using it as a metaphor. This is in a certain sense the heart neshama of the olam of Kabbalah is that we're using words and terms that be'etzem have no. The words themselves are physical terms that mean something. What they're describing are not like it at all in any sense, and yet by using these words I'm able to have a sort of sense of what's going on in the world of the words. So that's the heart of the difficulty of Tovah Zionim, and this is where we've been marking it. Avozoi Moedoi Rabba, Lechol Mashe Nidosh Nedabe Binyani Yisparach. So this is very important, he says, She'ena torim v'amilas hamsiachs l'misachs ha-saremes. None of the words apply to be'emes. Elo tzad ha-sh'ola, all it is a borrowed metaphor. This warning is repeated in every sefer that is written for a beginner in Kabbalah. And this sefer is not actually Kabbalah sefer, but the Sfarim that were written. This whole musig is a constant, because the real reason why you're not supposed to learn Kabbalah until you're appropriate age and so on has to do a lot with people becoming very makshimim, and they take a Kadosh Baruch Hu and make a physical being out of him. You talk about Kadosh Baruch Hu's right, that Kadosh Baruch Hu's left, and someone told me there's a friend, he lives around here, about tshuva, he's chassidish about tshuva, never really learned in any meaningful way, but a very alchi, a good tinyin. But he was going on saying that he read in one of his books, it's an English translation of some traditional work, that the reason Kadosh Baruch Hu made the world because he was very lonely. And, you know, you want the company. It's what we call that, Oveid Aved Zarah B'Tahara. You know, we can describe it like that. So, very important that none of this describes anything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, we're not describing his mitzias, we're describing his interaction with us. If we take a look back at Aleph, at what we just saw now, the one thing he says, the one thing that he sort of swallows is that he's a Motzu Echad. He starts out, Sheish Motzu Echad, I don't call him Tzor, Shem Tzion, Be'esh Rotza. He doesn't seem to give the hadgasha to the echad that he does to the next pieces, to the shleimus or kava and enim museges klal and so on. He doesn't sort of. There's no big to do about the echad, which is interesting. I mean, since that's the ma'isa when we mekabel mashmaim says ma'isa l'shem kesham echad, so. I would guess the following is the reason. The Rambam, when he speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Echad, and the Rambam is trying to, prove it, or the Rambam is sort of showing that it's really an extension of what we said until now. The Rambam says that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not Echad, but let's think it through, and there are we would have two things would fall by the wayside. One is HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have to have a gvul. If I tell you I have two chaverim, this is very nice. They're both named Chai. Okay, nice coincidence. They both look the same. Okay. And they actually are in the same exact place at the same time. I say, you mean the same room? No, exact place. So at some point they ask you, pray tell me, what do you mean you have two friends? Well, how are they two? If I have two friends named Chaim, one is short, one is tall, one's name is Goldstein, one's name is Goldberger, one of them is standing here now, and one of them was standing here an hour ago. One of them is standing in the right corner of my room, one is in the left corner of the room. I, in order to be able to describe two things, then I need to be able to explain the havchana. How am I mavchin between this and this? I need to have a gvul. Every time that I'm trying to be mavchin between two things, if I say there are two, for instance, let's take an abstract thing. Goodness, justice. There are no two of them. Either something is just or it's not just. I could say justice has parts to it, maybe, but I can't say that there are two justices. Justice doesn't suffer chalukah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I'm saying there are two of them, I must be able to define the limitation of each one. This God is in the Mizrach, this God is the Meir. This God is on, works on the weekends, this God works on all week long. I have to find some sort of Agdara. So any type of, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is limitless, and I cannot describe, and I cannot ascribe any shortcoming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then in effect, there can only be one. That, in the Rambam, it's the one, and the Rambam, it's not so much describing a defect, as much as describing some sort of Gashmistic Chalukah. If I can divide, if I can make two gods, that means that they're entities. They can be described in a way that I can say there's two. So b'meila, it's batul machmas lam. So Ramchal here is not in any way going back to his echod is part and parcel of this of explaining the fact he has no goof. I want to add one more knage to this, just I think it's in pshat actually. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah obviously speaks about echad, and he makes a big to-do out of echad, and he focuses on the echad, and he also speaks a lot about the body, but he does speak to echad. And I think there's a push to hezbo for that. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah is a sefer of mitzvahs. I mean, the whole Mishneh Torah is built around the mitzvahs, you know. He starts off each perek, with each section, but this is now these are the mitzvahs that are involved, and so on. It's a pirush on the mitzvahs of Torah. Since believing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being echad is a chiyuv, it's a mitzvah, so he needs to delineate that and to say there's a chiyuv, there's a mitzvah to be an echad, and so on. But here, in the way he's describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he is, there's really no room to have anything else. To have any sense of possibly two or whatever it is. That I think is proud over here. I want to go back to the other sheet a minute. It's not, like we said before, it's not exactly in order, but it's something which they help each other. All of the Sfarim speak different language. Let's go back to Amud Nun Tes if you have it, or if you have it on your device. It's Ritzoyin HaBoyri. So let's see base because it's the second half that's more nageya, but upon him the, I don't know if we did it last time or not, I don't remember any. Milas rotzen yesh lahabe heros. So first thing he says, the word rotzen really there are many synonyms. Rotzen yore ala machshava ritzonis. First of all, rotzen describes a free-willed desire for something. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala in the Bria, first and foremost, that there is Ratzon, and something is wanted, and Toiv is wanted, and Ra is not wanted. So that's our Sheirishtik Gili of something about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mid of Ratzon, that there are things that are desirable and things that are not desirable. Rotzen Yera al Mashechet Reitze, that's one. A second thing, Rotzen Yera al Mashechet Reitze Shia, Bukmo Gzeir Sichlis. In other words, it's sort of saying, this is my will. Rotzen Yera al Chefes Vecheshek. Rotzen can also have a Hadgasha on my craving and desire. This is my Rotzen. Rotzen Yera al Kavona Atachlisis. Rotzen can also mean, this is what was wanted. It's sort of the flip side of the Yer al Mashach Reitz Hashiach, and finally Rotzen Yer al Pisei Upani Yafis. So all of these are different types of usage of the word Rotzen in this Sfarim, which once again takes us. It's important to keep defining it because for us the word to want something implies clearly that there is a that there's some sort of heart, mind, something like that. Okay, that's one part of his background. Fiteide says, Shafilu mashon maskir se b'shem ein seif baruch hu. Even when we talk about Shabbat ein seif, ein akavana al atzmusei klal. We're not talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's self. we do not want to talk about Kadosh Baruch Hu at all. We don't have words. We have kelim. Even the word Ein Sof, which just sounds marvelous, like infinite. Ella al Poroisa. What we mean Ein Sof is there's no limit to what he does. Let's give a mashal. Let's say every good yeshiva has a coffee machine. That's the aleph base of a good yeshiva. And now I come along, coffee machine is ASIC, you have to always buy coffee, you have to buy water, you have to fill, you have to this. I buy for the yeshiva, I donate an infinite coffee machine. Now, what does an infinite coffee machine look like? It's not the pshat I don't know. It's because I can't know. My mind doesn't work with infinite. But let's say somebody brings in this infinite coffee machine, then the only intelligent statement I can make, that I can say I know, is you'd never need to bring in stuff to fill it up again. It will automatically give it. So I can define it in terms of its effect. It will not ever run out of coffee. Then that's that definition is real and appropriate. So he says, so Ein Sof refers to the scope of his activities. Upir shenyan, ki kivin shen yitzin shamatzel hetzlas kol elish hetzel, im kein eni the seina boy elish or pashut meir. All we know about it at that point is he is a mashpia. Ratzalim meir shemagir asachem. So the first, and that's why we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Borei Olamim, because that was our first experience of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's our experience of it. I want to add just a touch. The word He'etzel is used quite often, like the word Olam Atzilus in Svarim. The meaning of the word He'etzel is a very important meaning. Let's give the mashal. There are two ways. A bacha comes into yeshiva. There are two ways in which he can, actually three ways. Three ways that he can sit and learn. That he can park himself down and sit and learn. One is he convinces himself or whatever it is he wants to learn. Okay, but that's not relevant. The second way is the mashkir can come over and tell him, my dear young man, if you're not going to be here full Seder, you're not going to sit and learn and get shmooze and battle, you'll be thrown out of here. Or if you do sit and learn, you'll get a reward and so on. That's a direct hashpa in a very narrow sense of the word. I gave you a push, and therefore you pushed into learning. But there's another echitimtza. When a person walks into a beis medrash, everybody's sitting and learning very stark. It's mashpia to some degree. That hashpa is very hard to quantify. Maybe when I come over to you, I say, okay, I know your level of threat is X, I threaten you with X, and you have to do it, and that's that. But if there is none of that, then what can I, if there is not that, so what is happening? There's a type of transfer that is not dependent on a direct step-by-step process, but rather it's a type of hashpa, and that's and so Atzilus is the first big hashpa of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to other anhagis where it's a lot more starting from point A. The transition to B is very clear. It happened in this way, in this way, in this way. Whereas Atzilus means Hakadosh Baruch Hu was mashpia in the world, and that's im kein heinah sinemel shu or pashut meir. So the only thing we know is that he defies understanding, and he is meir. He's mashpia in us. But tzloy rav meir magia harosel acherim ach shenovin ma or azeh leyal debatenu. What that light's made of, we have no idea. Kalkei nikers or pashut neshalur chal daber mos klal rakneidu shu meir and daber azeh. And if this sounds strange to you, the truth is, we don't know what any light is. Light is something that we don't know what it is, but we do know what its effect is. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we go back to the very last point, it's art that's, that we can relate to, it's art that's meir. Well, the horror is on a current ain't safe. the ha'ara that comes out, the shorish of Kadosh is like, ki be'emes ein lo gvul kakum ein shivul atz musar. The only thing we can say about Kadosh Baruch Hu is, Kadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia unto the bria, and that hashpah has no seif. Now, if there's something about that oil that we can emulate, that we can do something about, and so on and so forth, then we have that's what it's there for, which is another way of the Rambam. The Rambam, who says that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave those descriptions is because he wanted to set it as a role model for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you add up all the pieces, I'm a Rachman, and I want you guys to be Rachman, and that's why I've made it clear that that's what I am. V'hine ha'ara zay snikas ratz pirshini ke yoyis ha'matzis baruch roitz ha'shir nimtzoyim So the etzem, if we ask ourselves, what went into HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating us? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want of us? The answer is, that's what he wanted us. He wanted us to exist and further on. But in our etzem, once we dare it this way, in our etzem bria, we have a gili of a ratzach hashparach. Hashem Baruch Hu wants us. That's that mahala. Okay, any questions? Then he says also, he speaks, the next piece he speaks over there about Shamatzel Kol Yochel, but he turns it off into Sitrach and to Ra, which is not what I want to talk about now. Any questions? Okay. Good. So, so next week in Mitzvah Hashem, or? What? You had a question? So, speak louder, a little bit closer and louder. Is somebody closer to the mic, make more clear a little?
Does she hear anything?
Now I hear. But before it wasn't clear, now it's clear. Okay.
What about being Mispainin Beratzei Vashoyim? What's the definition of that?
Mispainin Beratzei Vashoyim? Is that what you
said?
Ratzai Vashoyim. Ratzai Vashoyim, okay. Okay. Let's describe there's a lashon. The mocker is a Sefer Yetzirah, but it's something which is, I guess it comes from a parrot from Yecheskel, but it says that a person should not look what's lamala, what's lamata. And if your heart runs too far, go quickly back to your place. That's a lashon in Sefer Yetzirah. It's based on it's based around the pasuk in Yecheskel that the chayas ritzoy v'shav, the chayas would go back and forth. You were ahead of the old English, fro and throw or something like that. You know, here it back and forth. So what it means to say specifically is, within the hisboninus that we're allowed, there's a makom that a person crosses a red line into trying to think about things that he can't. And so on the one hand, chachma pushes us to try and understand as much as possible. That's really, any person who's in any chachma, especially this chachma, is trying very, very hard to understand things that are deeper than him. And that's very positive. But it's negative when a person begins to cross over a line into an area that he has no, he won't understand and he can't understand. So it says over there that if your heart rushes ahead, go back to where you were. In other words, pull back, because there's a makom that's not healthy, that's not good, and a person begins like the Arbash of Sopardis. It's when a person begins to think about things that are beyond him, it goes no place. It destroys the person, because the person can't understand. So Ritzoy V'Shav is a warning not to cross over the line from what we're allowed to and the Chuyiv to think about to what's beyond and so on. Let's think very crass example. Very crass. We're supposed to think about what Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And all of Torah is that. Every mitzvah and every Anhagat Torah and so on. But then the blessed person will start asking himself, so what do I mean when I speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon? Then I've just crossed over a line into a place that, as I start thinking about it, one of the four things will happen, one of three things will happen. I will either go crazy, because it's like when you try to divide by zero, you will keep dividing until basically you will collapse. Or you'll become a kafir, because you're going to try to define what's lamala with things that are lamata. It's very, very delicate. My machshava wants to learn and know and understand as much as possible, and going past the point that's good. And Kolzman, a person is within the framework that's good for him. It's very good. But once you go past that point, you're in trouble. So that's what Ritzoy V'Shav says about it. That's what it means over there.
I understood your Rashiva correctly. Everyone knows that the Rashiva speaks about the Harein Av
HaShem. Right. So let's take an example for Harei Naf. A bottle of ammonia is dangerous and poisonous for kids. It's poisonous for everybody. It's dangerous for everybody. Yet you can tell a kid, don't touch the bottle. It's dangerous, it's poisonous, whatever it is. And, you know, depending on the kid, on the age, and on whatever it is, he may or may not respond to that. Now, I go ahead and I put a skull and bones on it, or a very, very angry-looking face. And lo and behold, the kid doesn't take it. So let's look at it from the kid's mind. He sees a very, very, very terrible a skull of bones on top of this, and it looks like the stuff you see in the movies, and it's very, very bad. Doesn't touch it. And an enlightened friend of his will come along and saying, there's no skull, there's no bones, shtusim avolim. Take a look at it, find the skull and the bones of it. Nothing, the skull and bones were, and this is and shtusim. But but that's not right. And the skull and the bones are an accurate reflection of what my attitude ought to be towards this battle. It ought to be as if it's Moli Misa. I need to understand it that way. So I am looking to find understandings of it without, I'm saying Haroin Af means when you have a relationship with somebody and the person turns against you and blows up, you recognize that it'd be disastrous. So anytime it says something about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Haroi Naf, you expect that the reaction is going to be extremely strong. So I'm always looking and using it as a guide to the herring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reaction with me.
What
are
the main laws
for
that
Hashem
is capable on the purpose?
What does it mean? What? I'm sorry, just a little clearer.
That Hashem is
capable
on the
purpose. Mis'abla on the Chorban. Yes, it means... Okay. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhagis in this world, just like somebody who's not... Just like somebody who's bitzar on something, his interactions shrink, and he tends to become very, very The inner focus doesn't relate to people outside. You can call him, you can say hello to him, doesn't, and so on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu became much less. When there's a matzah pasam chare enough, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to mashpi atoyv, he's not going to save people. I can list a whole list of things because of it. They're all a hemshik of that.
So the certain mitzvahs that are predicated on the fact of the Kabbalah.
That are predicated on what?
Predicated on responding to some Kaviyachol Mitzvah Hashem.
Yes.
Give a nachas ruach. Give a nachas ruach by Kabbalah.
Right.
Well,
nachas ruach means you've tapped into a core rutzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a fulfillment of the core mission of the world. And just like if I do something for you that you really like, because this is you, all about you, it's me'orer haras panim. It's so kabriyachu by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is me'orer. So we're always saying that there's the inside of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kabriyachu is to himself and so on. Then doesn't. There's no answer. Then there's in Tachlis and what's going on, what's happening, and those are two different worlds, and that's what you're describing. It's two different worlds in terms of Charein Af is something where I need to assume in my avoda. Or whatever it is, I need to assume a understanding that things will not work well because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding to us with a feedback that things are not well. We're talking about the interface, just like even though we're looking at the screen and everybody's looking at a screen, everybody thinks that that's the computer. We all know that the screen is not the computer. The computer is. I actually have it in the back of my screen. It's part of it. It's one thing, but the computer is something else. But this is where I see it. This is how it projects itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a way that he interacts with us, and that's Charein Af. And things are disastrous. You have a storm, and you have Chas V'Shalom Gzeiros Ra'os, and so on. Those are all hanhodos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we need to understand. What's, you know, how to react and react to them.
Okay. Thank you.
What?
Thank you.
Okay, the Seder, I couldn't take care, cultivate.